MRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The nonprofit foundation that operates James Madison's Montpelier Estate casts doubt on initial reports that a fire did no damage to artifacts. The General Assembly reconvenes this week to consider the governor's amendments, vetoes, and pollinator enthusiasts gather at a city park in Winchester to plant wildflowers. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, April 16th. The nonprofit foundation that operates James Madison's Montpelier Estate is casting doubt on initial reports that a fire in the museum's archaeology office and laboratory last week did no damage to the artifacts and relics stored there. The Orange Volunteer Fire Company released a statement saying that 30 firefighters from multiple jurisdictions had worked with museum staff to safely remove the relics and artifacts from the building. The fire company said that there appeared to be no damage to relics there, but the Daily Progress reports that the Montpelier Foundation says that it has not been able to assess whether no artifacts were damaged. The April 8th fire tore through the building and seriously damaged its porch, attic, and a single interior room, and injured three firefighters on the scene. The cause of the fire is not known, and the Orange County Fire Marshal's office is leading an investigation. Scientists say that warming water temperatures throughout Virginia, from inland freshwater streams and rivers to the Chesapeake Bay, will have huge cascading effects on ecosystems. The Virginia Mercury reports that rising water temperatures in Virginia, a result of global climate change as well as localized changes in the environment, including a loss of shading from trees that have been removed along streams and riverbanks, and a decrease in the amount of fresh water flowing through some ecosystems. American shad and river herring populations are nowhere near what they were historically in Virginia. A moratorium on fishing for American shad in 1994 and the stocking of more than 100 million American shad fry in the James River has not reversed a downward trend for the species. Some species of fish, including the candy darter, require cool and clear stream waters. The General Assembly returns to Richmond this week for a brief session to consider Governor Glenn Youngkin's amendments and vetoes. One amendment involves bullying in schools. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Last month, members of the General Assembly sent the governor a bill that would create special protections against bullying at public schools for groups that have the highest rates of victimization. Now, the governor is amending the bill to remove the special protections for bullying based on things like sexual orientation or gender identity. Victoria Cobb at the Family Foundation says the governor's amendment makes the bill better.
So this amendment seeks to simply say that bullying is wrong and not worry about why someone is being bullied, but instead focus on the actor and the action.
The bill was introduced by Delegate Joshua Cole, a Democrat from Fredericksburg, who says the special protected categories came right from existing state law.
That's why we included the language from the Virginia Human Rights Act, LGBTQ, people of color, people with disabilities, anything like that. We wanted to make sure they were protected. And the governor's amendment seriously waters it down. And so we're very disappointed, and we're not looking forward to accepting the amendment.
He says he expects the General Assembly to reject the governor's amendment, which would give the governor a choice: veto the bill or sign the version lawmakers sent him last month. I'm Michael Pope.
One of the main points of contention between the Republican governor and the Democratic-controlled General Assembly is taxes. Youngkin is pushing for no tax changes after Democrats broadened a sales tax expansion that the governor proposed. The debate also includes Virginia's participation in a regional carbon market.
The regional greenhouse gas initiative, as constructed in Virginia, doesn't work to give people incentives to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. It's just a tax.
Youngkin also told VPM News that he was hopeful a budget deal would be struck, but he did not answer a question on the possibility that he might veto the budget. One of the more than 200 amendments Governor Youngkin proposed for the state budget would delay a ban on single-use plastics beyond a time frame set as part of a compromise that the legislature made a few years ago. The Virginia Mercury reports that his amendment shifts the prohibition on use of polystyrene containers from 2025 to 2028 for larger retail food establishments. and to 2030 for smaller restaurants. Legislation heading back to the General Assembly this week could help pave the way for small modular nuclear reactors in Virginia. Patrick Larson with VPM News reports.
Dominion Energy and Appalachian Power want to explore small modular nuclear reactors to help meet state clean energy requirements. Bipartisan legislation would let companies request that ratepayers foot the bill for early development work. Governor Glenn Youngkin amended the bills with some ratepayer protections. Nonprofit Appalachian Voices doesn't oppose nuclear power, but is opposing these bills, pointing to a failed SMR in Idaho. Here's Director of Energy Policy Peter Anderson.
Dominion or Appalachian Power could charge their customers hundreds of millions of dollars with absolutely no guarantee that customers ever receive any electricity.
Bernie McNamee, a McGuire Woods consultant, spoke on Dominion's behalf at a February hearing on one of the bills, where he said North Carolina had already passed a similar law.
And it's an effective way to help make sure that the utilities can keep planning for the future to meet future needs for the economy and for the needs of the customers.
Lawmakers reconvene Wednesday.
Patrick Larson reporting. One of the governor's budget amendments on skill games affects store owners. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
At a Shell gas station in Chester, Jarnal Singh is working behind the counter. He has been picking up shifts, something his business partners at nearly a dozen locations across the state are also doing because the current ban on skill games required him to cut back on employees.
These machines really helped us running the businesses on a daily basis. We had customers that would even come in and buy some merchandise products, which really helped with the sales.
Singh is a member of the Virginia Merchants and Amusement Coalition, a group which organized a two-day protest over Youngkin's proposed amendments to bipartisan skill game legislation. Participating VMAX stores didn't sell lottery tickets Monday, and they plan to close for an hour Tuesday from 3:50 to 4:50 p.m. The time slot is a reference to the 35-mile radius of a casino or historic horse racing facility that skill games would be banned from under Youngkin's amendments. Between the operating range limit and Youngkin's recommended higher tax imposition, VMAX says it could close many locally owned stores. In a statement, Youngkin says he supports small business owners having access to skill games, and his proposed amendments would, quote, establish an important regulatory framework to grant localities and Virginians a voice on the issue. But for Singh, he's hoping his protest leaves a mark, even if some business is lost this week.
It is a risk we have to take. But that is the only way we can get our voices across.
The legislature returns to Richmond Wednesday, where they'll address all of Youngkin's vetoes and amendments during a reconvened session. In Chester, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Pollinator enthusiasts gathered at a city park in Winchester on Sunday to plant wildflowers. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
About 80 people, some wearing butterfly wings and bee antenna, gathered at Jim Barnett Park to help the organization Sustainability Matters plant a 1.5-acre wildflower meadow.
Native seeds like to be right at the surface, but we don't want them to blow away. So we got to do some stamping, maybe some dancing on them once we get them down there. You think you can help me with that?
Hannah Beament, who serves on their technical advisory board, led the crowd to a large swath of lightly turned earth. The volunteers picked up buckets of native seeds and cast them across the ground, dancing and walking over top. Jordan Herring, Winchester's arborist and grounds maintenance manager, said this partnership bolsters the city's recent designation as a Bee City USA affiliate. The national program encourages the conservation of native pollinators.
We're really trying to promote pollinator habitat, environmentally safe practices here in the city, really get people interested, you know, really learn about pollinators and, you know, planting native plants in their own front yard or their backyard.
Winchester resident Patty Stringer came out because she so enjoyed one of Sustainability Matters' winter seed workshops.
We planted seeds in milk jugs, and I've got columbines coming up. I've got Mexican hat cone flowers.
Beament said that the meadow seed mix included Joe Pieweed, Slender Blazing Star, and Black-Eyed Susans.
All sorts of lovely things that the bees and the butterflies are going to love, and then they're going to create lots of baby bugs for the birds to feed their babies, and it's just going to be a buzzing good time here.
The nonprofit plans to host events at the meadow later this year once the seeds have begun to grow. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You'll find some photos from the event and more about Sustainability Matters at WMRA.org and on the app. Being a new parent is a learning experience, but accessing resources and help isn't easy for everyone. One program in Virginia is helping families build stronger relationships by visiting with parents and kids in their own homes. Virginia Public Radio's Roxy Todd reports.
Samantha Howell and her family live in a small yellow house in Floyd. Children's bikes and toys are in the backyard. There's a gorgeous view of the mountains and a small creek.
Hi.
Howell's 2-year-old daughter, Evelyn, has just fallen asleep for her afternoon nap. Dolls and blocks are stacked neatly in the living room, and on the daybed is a soft, well-loved quilt. It's in this space where Howell and her daughter have met with parent educators once a month the past 2 years.
And so they have just been a godsend, really. They come in and, you know, sit with me and we go over different activities.
The educators bring games and art projects Howell can do with her daughter to build their bond and help her daughter learn.
So it's been really neat. They've seen her grow and mature into what she is now.
Her daughter is about to go into preschool. Home visiting programs across Virginia help nearly 7,000 families. Not everyone is low income, but many are. But some rural communities, especially in Southwest or Southside Virginia, have little to no access to home visiting, says Laurel Aparicio, director of Early Impact Virginia.
There are still a number of communities in the state that have no services whatsoever.
Where home visiting is available, parents sometimes get to check in with nurses and counselors right in their own home. And these workers don't judge, Aparicio says. They're more like parenting coaches.
It's having that person, that individual to connect with who believes in you, who believes in your family, and is there for you unconditionally. We all want that.
She says social isolation can be a struggle for any parent because many live separated from extended families or close friends.
We are designed to live in community, to parent in community. It's not meant to be an individual experience. And home visiting can just be one of those places to help.
In a recent study conducted by Early Impact, parents talked about how checking in with their home visitor helps them handle daily stress or anxiety. For Ashley Walker in Abingdon, the program meant her son got access to speech therapy, something she may not have learned about if she didn't have a parent educator, someone she trusted, asking about her son's development.
She was able to tell me, well, Ashley, maybe he is a couple words behind. Maybe we do need a little help. And from there, connected me to another program that had my son able to carry a conversation with me fully in the next 6 months.
For years, funding to support home visiting in Virginia came from a federal program, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, also known as TANF. But in the last few years, that funding has decreased. Virginia lawmakers included millions of dollars to their proposed state budget this year to pay for home visiting. Each family's situation is unique. Visits may include learning games, how to do crafts, and what kids need most, play with parents. Parent educator Danielle Fields recently taught Walker and her son how to turn a bar of soap into fake snow.
They completely destroyed their living room, but they loved it. You know, they were throwing the snow up in the ceiling fan and it was going everywhere. And the kids were laying down on the carpet making snow angels out of, you know, fake snow that was in the floor.
Fields says she tries to empower parents to focus on the importance of little things, finding laughter and joy. Because simple experiences like coloring or making fake snow helps families build resilience together. In Abingdon, I'm Roxy Todd.
Finally today, a middle school student from Albemarle County will represent the region at the Scripps National Spelling Bee next month. The Daily Progress reports that Claire Ming correctly spelled ad nauseum to win. The seventh grade student from Lakeside Middle School will compete at the Spelling Bee at National Harbor in Maryland. The 3-day event begins May 28th. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Libicki. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy your Tuesday.